I forgot to say before, I turned up to church today and there was a card in the letterbox saying, "To Ginelli Congregation, praying for you at this difficult time amidst the loss of your dear brother and sister, love from a Ginelli neighbour." And I want you to know also that people around the world have been praying for us. Some missionaries are praying for us, have made contact. Our archbishop and bishops have contacted us, and other churches have been praying for us even this week in Bible studies. And I know that that many here have been praying for each other. Let's pray that God would speak his word to us, whether this is touching us deeply or whether it's not. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, and we pray that your word would speak to us and be implanted on our hearts. It would actually be something we live out, something that changes us for the good, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there are hard times, and there are good times. There are really, really hard times, like we've just talked about, times of loss and shock, times of tragedy, times that really hit us and just slow time down and really rock us. But there are also good times, the times where everything seems to be going great. There might be some of you who this weekend or next weekend are in finals in soccer and you win a game. Or there might be some people who move into a new house that they've been looking forward to. There might be some people here who, in their family somewhere, is born a little baby and there's joy, even though it's hard. We think about life and we sort of can simplistically divide life into the hard times and the good times, but there's obviously lots in between as well. And sometimes there's a mixture of both. I was thinking about this passage, and this is what we're down to read, and I actually love this part of God's word so much. It's one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. And I wrote the outline, and I kind of got the first point totally wrong, so I've just changed it to, instead of walking through, but being led through the hard times and the good. That's the only change I'm making. That's okay. But actually, it's all about being led. How it is that we are led through a hard time or led through a good time. You see, this is a part of the Bible that's the people of God. They're actually on the edge of the promised land, and they've just been for 40 years. 40 years led through a wilderness. I don't know who here has done a long bushwalk. But if you've done a long bushwalk, you might have done a bushwalk for 7 hours. And you get to the other end of the train station. Feels good, doesn't it? Or it might be, even though you scrape the leeches off your leg at the train station, but it feels good to get there after the 7 hours. Or maybe you've been on a more serious walk. You've done one of those, you know, 7-day hikes. And in the time, it just feels like it's going on forever. But when you finish, it's, wow, that was amazing. I got through. God's talking about his people. It wasn't just a hike for fun. This was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And they were just arriving at the train station. And they were just about to enter the promised land. All that wandering was soon to be over. All that scarcity was seen to be finished. And this part of God's word says, you were led through those hard times. Actually, one of the ways the Bible refers to this time is actually like a sheep with a shepherd. Psalm 77 says, God led his people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 78 says, he led his people out like a sheep and guided them like a flock in the wilderness. This is how they reflected on this time. It's like they were sheep being led through the wilderness. God is our God and we are the sheep of his pasture. And it's a beautiful image that they were shepherded through the wilderness by the Lord, and now we're about to be shepherded into the promised land. And this image is not rare for us either. That was the Old Testament under Moses. We weren't shepherded through the wilderness by Moses. We're shepherded through the wilderness this life by Christ. We have a shepherd. In fact, Jesus called himself the good shepherd, a shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep, whose sheep knew him, whose sheep heard his voice, whose sheep would come with him where they went. 1 Peter says, you were like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. This is the one we follow. And Christ is our shepherd. In the song, I'll trust in the darkness, and I realized it talked about him being our shepherd in the darkness. The Lord is our shepherd and we won't be in want. There are times he leads us beside quiet waters, but there are other times where he guides us and takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, and his staff and his rod comfort us. And so when we read this story of the Israelites being shepherded and led through the wilderness, there are many things we can learn from it. Just one that I want to draw very simply is that we too are being shepherded by our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the hard times and through the good. Well, what are the challenges of the hard times? You think about what are the real challenges of the hard times? The challenge of the hard times is the hard times. Obviously, it's not having enough food, not having enough money, not having a solution, not having a way of getting out of your debt, not having any way that you can comfort the other people in their tears, not knowing what to do. That's the challenge of the hard time. But there is actually a deeper spiritual challenge of the hard times. It's saying, in the hard times, do I trust God? Has God forgotten us? That in a sense, is there is the physical challenge of the hard times, but the spiritual behind it all is, can I trust my shepherd? And can I see his hand? You see, one of the things that Moses reminded the people as they enter the promised land, he had one very, very key thing. Remember, he says, you've got to carefully follow all the commands given you today that you may live and increase and enter and take possession of the land the Lord swore to your fathers. We saw that last week. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. We saw last week it was summarizing all the commandments that God has given. And you've got to do this. Why? And how, actually, more importantly, remember that the Lord led you on the entire journey, those 40 years in the wilderness, so that he might humble you and test to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. One of the things they needed to learn when God led them through the hard times is to trust him. Would they trust God only when they had everything they wanted? Would they trust God only if they had a full belly? Would they trust God only if they had heaven on earth? No, they had to trust God in the wilderness those 40 years so that God could see what was in their hearts. And particularly the issue was food. Of all the things, food was their presenting issue. It's funny, isn't it? Of all the, we often don't struggle about food, but Adam and Eve, it was about food, wasn't it? They didn't trust God with the food. And here in the wilderness, it was food. Almost the most basic human thing. You know, we worry about houses. We worry about cars. We worry about mobile phones. But at the base, food. If that's in doubt, that's a fundamental. And people who go on walks, go on hikes, go bush for a while, you realize that food is one of the things you think about most, food and water. He humbled them by letting them go hungry, and he gave them manna to eat. Manna was that bread from heaven, which they had to rely on for God to bring to them. So that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. One of the things they did in the wilderness is actually learn to depend on God for their daily bread. We pray, you know, give us today our daily bread. They actually had to do that. And every day they had to depend on God. Will God provide today? Will God provide today? And every day, a daily ritual, God gave them the bread they needed to teach them that they could trust him. I like the confidence. Your clothing didn't wear out. Your feet didn't swell in those 40 years. Keep in mind that the Lord your God has been disciplining you as a man disciplines his son. Those times, God was trying to teach them and grow them. They were slaves in Egypt, right? And you might have thought the opposite of being a slave was to be a free person. You might have thought God's plan was take slaves and just give them a nice, easy life. But the opposite in God's plans of slaves was something bigger than that, and that was being a child of God. And he didn't want just slaves, and he didn't even just want people who had everything easy. He wanted to have children who would trust him as their father, who would love him, who would grow. The hard times, we often grow the most. We don't want them. But if God leads us through those hard times, we will grow. The next part of the passage says, so keep his commandments, for the Lord is going to bring you into a good land, a land with water and springs and pomegranates and figs and eating food without shortage, and the land whose rocks are iron, and there's going to be copper, and you can eat and a fool. You'll praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Imagine how that would have helped them in the wilderness too, to know that this time was limited. Yes, it was 40 years, but they were going to get to the promised land, and there was going to be a provision of all these things. We need to draw lessons from the wilderness. One of them is, in the hard times, trust God while looking forward. They trusted God for all the things they needed, and they could look forward to the time when they would enter that promised land. For us, when we go through the hardest of times, we need both of these aspects. Sometimes we need to realize we are in the wilderness. We are in a difficult time. But to know that God promises that there'll be an end to it, and that we can keep going because it won't last forever. We need to trust God in the empty places, when things aren't working out. You know, you see it, I've shared this before, but you see it, the sportsmen who have the thing on, the American football sportsmen, Australians don't do this as much. There's a few more, Israel Folau and others are standing up for Christ, but, you know, who have the verse on their, not written on their head or on the back of their shirt or something that says, you know, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And so when they get a touchdown, they can say, well, it's God who gave me strength and all the rest. But the real strength comes, doesn't it? When they get injured or sacked or hauled up before a court. And then you can say, I do all things through him who gives me strength. And it means something even deeper. Was Christian people in those hard times where we have to learn, do we really trust him? It's almost like we have two hands. Sometimes we hold one hand trusting God and we have another hand trusting something else. And in the hard times, we actually need to say both hands on God. And sometimes because there's nothing else to trust. Sometimes there's no choice but both hands on God. And we trust him with the basics. You see, when you get so used to food coming all the time, you don't realize it comes from God's hands. But when you have time without food, you can trust him with it. When you've got no money in the bank account, and every little bit of money is just enough to get you through the next day, or even just a little bit less than enough to get you through the next day, then you have to trust God with your money. When your health is dicey, and you don't know how long you got, you have to trust God with that. When you're worried about the media pouncing on you, you have to trust God with that. When you're feeling overwhelmed, you have to trust God with that. The challenge of the hard times is learning to trust God. We should remember that Jesus Christ himself went through all this. Jesus began his ministry and he was cast out into the wilderness. The Gospels say, by the Holy Spirit, to be tested in the wilderness. And you would have thought if anyone didn't need testing, it'd be Jesus. You kind of think, like, I'm a Christian. Why would I need to be tested? Why would I need to be grown? I'm a Christian. I've been tested already. I've been through a heck of a lot already. Why would I need more? Don't forget, Jesus Christ himself was tested. He himself went without food and wandered in the wilderness so that he would learn. Look what it says. That he was fasted for 40 days and nights and Jesus was hungry. And the tempter approached him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." But he answered, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And Jesus, even Jesus, especially Jesus, as God's beloved Son, was tested and his mettle was shown to be pure. His faith was shown to be pure and genuine as he trusted in that dark place. Well, the challenge of the hard place is to trust God and to keep going and to hold on with both hands. But what's the challenge of the good times? What is it? What's the difficult thing about good times? Good times, you don't need to trust God. Good times, everything's come your way. Good times, you've got a list of things and it's all working out. Most of our time, we don't identify the good times. It's very easy to identify the hard times. Like, you know when you're in the hard times, but you often don't even think, I'm in the good times. You only look back and say, they were the good times. Because the good times, you're so complete. You've got everything. You don't need to pray. Perhaps you might pray just as a habit, but you really, honestly, you don't need to pray anymore. You don't have to trust God anymore. You've got everything you have. You've got enough money in the bank. You've got friends all around you. The challenge in the good time is pretty clear. To forget God. Moses here is saying, look, you've just finished the hard times. You're going into the good times. What are you going to do to make sure you're still walking with the Lord and letting him lead you? Some of us, maybe tonight, are in that moment. We've had a hard time and things are going well now. Some of us are deep in the hard times. But the challenge is, he says, we must be careful to follow every command so that you may live and increase. Notice what we said at the very beginning. Remember that the Lord led you in the wilderness. The first thing we've got to do in the good times is remember the hard times and remember how God led us through those hard times. It's so easy to forget. We've arrived. Why would I need to remember that? Later on, he talks about how he's going to lead them into a land with water and springs and wheat and barley and wine and figs and pomegranates. All these things would have sounded so great to the guys in the desert. So great to be able to live for 40 years in the wilderness. You're gonna have medals. You're gonna have food to eat. The key thing he says is be careful you do not forget the Lord by failing to keep his command, the ordinance and statutes I'm giving you today. When you eat and have your full, build beautiful houses to live in, and your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold multiply, and everything you have increases, be careful that your heart doesn't become proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt and the place of slavery. You can see how easy that is to forget the Lord. You've been busting a gut to get a job, get a degree, find someone to marry, and it hasn't worked out. But then when it does work out, you got it all. And we can be in danger of forgetting the Lord. Even the prodigal son who's returned to his father and has had his father welcome him home and put his arms around him and give him a hug and put rings on his fingers and put a cloak on his back and kill the fattened calf for him. Imagine a bit later on, he could forget that he had been the prodigal, that he had wandered away, that he had been lost and he'd come back to his father. He could easily forget that, and he could easily slip in to become the other brother himself. Proud, resentful, religious bigot, ultimately forgetting God. Later, he says, he led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water, and he brought water out of the flint like rock for you, and he fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers hadn't known in order to humble you and test you, so that in the end he might cause you to prosper. God wanted his people to trust him and realized that there wasn't just sort of an entitlement culture being with them. And we all realize this is the reality of how things should be. We all realize this is the problem with kids nowadays. Am I allowed to say that? You know, that we have everything and we don't realize we have to go through the hard things before the good things. And God wants us to lead his people like a shepherd through the wilderness into these times. And in those times, we've got to remember him. In fact, the call is the same for the hard times and the good times, to obey him. To obey him when we've got nothing, so that we remember to obey him when we've got everything. To trust him when we've got nothing, so remember to trust him when we have everything. You see, one of the dangers they could say, I won't read the whole thing here, but verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power, my own ability have gained this wealth for me, but remember that the Lord your God gives you this power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant he swore to your fathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods to worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will perish. The danger for the Israelites having it all was they might say, it's all mine and all the glory goes to me. It's all mine and I'm the one who got it. And they forget that the Lord actually led them there. We can see that's pretty easy for us to do that, isn't it? Remember Jesus told the parable of the soils. One of the seeds, this dried up little seed, was planted in the shallow ground in hard times. And that grew for a little while, but the persecution came and difficulties came and it withered up. Another seed was planted amongst the thorns and the thistles. And Jesus actually says, it's the pleasures of this life that strangle that seed. So one was the difficulties of life and the other was the pleasures of this life. The challenge of the hard times is the hard times and trusting God. The challenge of the good times is the pleasures that make us forget the Lord. Has anyone here ever been in a hard time and could almost look through to think, am I going to be like this when things are good? I've been in that situation and I've thought to myself, I don't want the hard time to continue, but I need to keep being the person I am in the hard time. And it's very easy, very, very easy to not be. The lesson of the good times is first and foremost, remember the hard times. Don't forget what you've been through. But also remember that you've been led through the hard times. Don't forget the shepherd who led you through those hard times. Maybe it's worth writing them down, the things you've been through that God has brought you through so far. Maybe it's worth talking about with other people, encourage them. How has God brought you through the hardest times of your life? And trust God in the full places. If you prayed every day for food, or if you prayed every day for enough money in your bank account when you had none, why don't you keep praying that way when you have lots? If you prayed, God, give me the strength to get through this day, why not pray, God, give me the strength to serve you this day? Trust God with the full times, trust him with the basics. And the biggest call is never to forget him. You see, for us, I think there are people in this room in different situations. Some of us feel the hard times so much at the moment. And we need to help each other. We need to see that it's not going to go on forever. There will be an end to the hard times. And that God will shepherd us through those. But those of us who are going through good times realize that shepherd is still there. He may have led you beside quiet waters. He may make you lay down in green pastures. But he's just as there as he was when he led you through the valley of the shadow of death. And so as a church, for some of us, it feels like we're going through massive hard times at the moment. What we're going to do is call out to the shepherd and trust him and walk with him, knowing that he will guide us. and others are not aware of this. And our call is to do the same. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word, which is a challenge to us. We thank you for the Israelites in the wilderness who had to trust you in the wilderness and had to trust you in the promised land. Father, we pray for those of us who are going through really hard times, that we would look to the shepherd of our souls, that we would know that he will give us, he might give us more than we can bear, but he won't give us more than he can take us through and that he can bear. The Father, he might teach us to trust in him and rely on our daily bread. That if something is taken from us, we might be reminded of all the things that we depend on you for. And Father, we pray that when we leave these times, that we might never forget you. And for those who are doing everything really well, or so it appears, Father, I pray that you would keep them from forgetting you, like the Israelites were warned, and just becoming like every other nation, godless, soulless, without a shepherd. And so whether it's hard times or good times, Father, we pray that we would return to the shepherd and overseer of our souls, and that as his sheep we would listen to his voice and love the one who laid down his life for us. That we are his sheep. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.